I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Hosea, Old Testament scripture. I'm going to be preaching. Jeremy needs a title of a message. So I'm going to go with the kind of revival we need, or the recipe for revival, or the ingredients of a revival. But he can pick one. I don't care. The kind of revival we need. Normally we go to revival messages. You go to 2 Chronicles 7:14. I'm sure you've heard a lot of those. But there's a scripture in here in Hosea chapter number 6 that stood out to me this week in seeking the Lord's will for the message tonight. And I think it's evident that God's people need revival. Now, we're in the fall-winter phase. It just turned winter, and we went to the 70s. That's South Carolina for you. I think when we had that cold spell in November, I said, that's probably our winter, and it was 40 degrees, 30. Anyhow, y'all live here, y'all know. But, you know, we don't have our mind on spring. But spring is an idea of revival. And you see the dead grass. You see all the trees that are barren and dead. But when spring comes, there's buds. There's new life. There's greenery on the ground again. And all that is imagery that reminds us of what revival is, or it can be about. Some of that's going to be mentioned here in these first three verses. Now, Hosea in itself is speaking, of course, to Israel, but we're going to apply this to us as New Testament Christians, because there's truth that it can be gleaned out of here. I'm not going to throw it in the trash can, amen, if it's not explicitly applied to means, well, that's not my covenant, not my Bible. That's silly thoughts, amen. You can apply this to yourself personally. We know in the Psalms 85:6, David cried, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? So in the context of when he asked for that, as a king of the nation there, as a people as well of Israel, there was a desire for revival. And there was he crying out to God for revival. There are people today who say that revival is not going to happen in our modern day. And I believe that it will not happen if we don't follow the Bible and we don't look at any of the recipes or any of the ways to find it and to react, to respond to it and appeal to what God. I believe God wants revival, Brother Jeremy, more than we want it. That's evident. I know that. We gotta get some things going in our life to help us. I want to read these first three verses and I'll give you a little thought here. Come and let us return unto the Lord. Verse 1. Hosea 6. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up. Boy, that's some good little nugget in there. If y'all know y'all know anything about another third day that means anything to anything about anything about resurrection? I know of one, amen. So you say, well, that don't mean that. Well, the shadow cast by the true typology of who Christ is, every other thing now means what that means, amen. You can find truth in the resurrection in all these thoughts of third day. It's hard to disconnect third day from the resurrection, but there's revival in us. And raising and resurrecting power within us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Beautiful imagery here about what I would say is the kind of revival that we need in our lives. A nation needs revival. Our state needs revival. Our world needs it. This church needs it. You need it individually. Amen. And if you don't think you need it individually, then you definitely proven that you need it. Amen. Now, revival is not necessarily some activity that you know that you can show forth and say, boy, he's revival. Every service, he's, woo, glory! You shout every service, but you may live like hell out there in the world. That doesn't mean you have real revival. You can fake a lot of stuff in the Christian world. We all have our levels of hypocrisy in our life.
We've all done that. But I know real revival can shake up your soul, and you may end up going, "Woohoo, glory to God, God is good." And he might breathe on your soul, but we need that breath of God to stir us. I want to use this first point on the notion of revival, a notion. And I'm going to use another point in a minute too, but I thought about we needed to get past a notion. And it needs not just go to a notion, to a novelty. Because some people, they look at certain things as a novelty. They're amused by it for a little while. We're going to have revival. Well, that sounds good, but boy, preacher, a whole week? What in the world are you thinking? It's past its novelty then. 2 weeks, are you kidding me? So-and-so down there is having revival on the other side of the state down there. They've gone 10 weeks. Well, it's a blessing. You're excited. You're praying for it, long as it don't come to your church, because you sure ain't going no 10 weeks in no service. But that's a novelty. It's an amusement. Let that circus stay over there, but I don't want it to come to town over here. That's true. Now, you know that's true. It needs to go past the notion where a sermon can stimulate it, which is what I'm going to do tonight. A scripture you may read may stimulate your desire and need for revival. Lord, I need that in my life. I need to be revived. It may get to a point where you get so sick and tired of living like you're living, and you say, "God, I need a revival. I'm tired of being dry. I'm tired of being twice dead, plucked up by the roots. I'm tired of not feeling your presence." It needs to get past that novelty. It could just be a simple thought tonight that God may cultivate in your heart, turn into something real. You know, a little spark can burn the whole forest down. Now, I'm not saying we need to burn the forest down, but you understand what I'm saying. If one person could spark and get some kindling going, amen, and you can't start a big fire without a small little fire within it. There's got to be a strong sustenance. There's got to be a sustaining source of fire to build upon with another fire. Of what we might call the revival fires. If it goes past the notion and past the novelty, I hope it turns into the purpose or a need. A need. He said, "God, I need this." I was talking to Lorenzo a while ago. He said he wasn't feeling good, you know. I said, "Why didn't you go to Atlanta?" He said, "I need God. I need to be here." And I thought, boy, that's the need. We got to get to that point where God, I need you. I need you to touch me. I need to feel your breath upon these little coals. These little embers have a little fire, but not much. But I need the breath of heaven to, you know, when you breathe on a fire, you get it resuscitated. Amen. So many images that we know are just in everyday life that we know enough to know what revival really is in the simplest thought. But the notion of revival is given here. He says, "Come and let us return unto the Lord." The invitation, like, come and join me, amen. Come, let's seek into this. And he brings this thought. Hosea brings this thought. Come and let us return. Revival is returning.
Right.
Because when you realize you've drifted away from that place, when you are in revival or you are thriving and excited and striving and having victory, even if you have defeats along the way, but you keep overcoming. If you've ever been there, you know where it is where you just keep hungering and thirsting. And then you know when that begins to wane away and it begins to cool down and you're just kind of used to it. A little trickle here, a little dab will do you here. Just a little taste here, a little nugget there. You're good. Boy, that needs to awaken into, "God, I need revival. I've been living off of crumbs. And I need more." And if we could help realize the notion of revival and move past those stages and return unto the Lord. It's kind of simple, isn't it? Pretty simple. We make it complex. And I know some people say 2 Chronicles 7:14, where it says, "If my people which are called on my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways." They said, "That doesn't apply to us now. It'll never work now." If one person did it, it would work. Oh, it may not sweep across the whole world, but what about your world?
Yes, sir.
I need my world. I need that in my world. And there's never a time I seek God in prayer and I seek Him in the Scriptures that He does not begin the work of wanting to revive me. If I'm not there, that's what He's going to start working on. To revive me. To return to the Lord. Number two, the nature of revival is defined in these Scriptures. In verse number 1, He said, "Come, let us return unto the Lord." You get to go back. Amen. Return back to where you were. That's the nature of revealed. Like that prodigal son that turned back and went back to the father's house. Amen. Get back, sit back at the table again. Fellowship restored. Amen. Joy renewed in your life again. And look at these other phrases that are mentioned in this word. He hath torn. You're torn. And then he said, he will heal us. He brings healing into your life. Revival is given here and shown here. There's a nature of it. When you get revived, all the torn, all the smitten, broke down, beat down parts of you can be healed and bound up with the care of the great physician. I need that. I do. That's why I know we've had some revival meetings here and there. We've had a few little mini little efforts and things like that. Man, I long for what my desire is when these people come in and they're praying and they're trying to live right and walk right, and God's got their hand upon them and he's used them and he's moved my heart that these are the people we need to cross our paths in January, and they're going to preach and sing to us, and we hope we can see that nature of revival start working on some torn people and some those who need some healing. And if you look down on someone else when they go crawl to the altar, you're in the worst shape of anybody in the whole room. The nature of revival is God's people can get healing, get bound up, amen. And if you walk out of revival service or any service, and even tonight you could receive revival, it, just because it's not on a calendar or a flyer, that doesn't limit our God. You can have it tonight. You may go out there bound up, bandaged, look like from ace bandages from head to toe. Said, what world happened to you? I got bound up. I got bound up by God tonight. Not bound down, but bound up. He healed my wounds. He healed me. You get some healing, deep healing in your heart. Deep healing may not look like a scab overnight, but you know and God knows what he's doing deep in your heart. There's a nature to revival. He goes on to say, after 2 days he will revive us, third day he will raise us up. There's thoughts of reviving, life brought again, resurrection is given here. And he says, even thoughts about the latter rain and the rains there given with the what we might call the harvest time, amen, when fruit comes in. So many thoughts here of the nature of this. It's a beautiful, beautiful thought when you think about what revival is. When a love life is revived. A revival and desire to read your Bible again might be revived. Or there's you're revived in your bones. Your spirit is revived. There's images of that throughout the scripture of old people. Not you guys, but old people like David when he got old and Jacob when he got old. See, Jacob thought his son Joseph, who was sold into slavery and went into Egypt, he thought he was dead. And when he found out he was alive, his spirit revived within him. He had hope again. Said, my son's still alive. I want to go see him. Amen. I want to see him. I want to look at him. I want to hold him. I want to be around him. I want the presence of Joseph. That's the nature of revival as described here and in many other scriptures in the Word of God. Come and let us return unto the Lord. And he says, and he will heal us. He has smitten, he has torn, he will heal us. He has smitten, he will bind us up. God's allowed some things maybe to happen in your life, but if he has, his whole plan and desire is to revive you, is to get you to a place to return to him. There's a scripture that talks about your first love. Now, I know some of the younger kids in here, you might not know much about your mom and dad's lives and when they were younger. But that first love, man, that'd make you make a long-distance phone call.
Yes, sir.
That'd make you ride on a bicycle for 15 miles to make a long-distance phone call at a payphone. Y'all know that how old that goes back.
Walk, too.
I've done some crazy things. I remember getting off of work and driving down to Anderson to go see Joanna, and I got me a little sugar that night, and I locked my keys in the truck when it was running. And I had to call my dad, wake him up at 11 o'clock at night, and drive all the way to Anderson to open my truck. That was embarrassing. But I didn't quit loving her. I didn't get mad and throw it all aside and blame. I went back. The next time I could go back down there, I just made sure I had a key in another spot. Amen. And locked myself out again. Because in the nature of revival and desire and love rekindled, boy, you're going to climb over a fence. You'll climb up in a tree. You're going to find a way to get to that one that you love. Listen, we need that love renewed, our spiritual love renewed with the Lord again. Just think how that elevates your individual life, how to elevate our church. How it would elevate our ministry, our outreach, how all that could spread and spread the community around us and other individuals. That's the nature of revival that is defined in some of these scriptures. And the Lord gives life and He gives forgiveness. And what a blessing it is to receive that healing and that binding, that care of the Lord. Number three, the need of revival is demonstrated in these scriptures. In these words that are mentioned here, he said, "Come, let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, he will heal, he has smitten, he will bind us up." And you think about how important that is when we are torn to pieces. I've counseled with some people that are torn, ripped, shred, smitten, beaten, and I as a man could not help them. I couldn't heal them. I've told this to people that I've counseled. I don't mean to lean on this little phrase, but I've told it to some, and not only some of us was counseling of different nature, but I've told them, I don't have a magic wand. I wish I could fix it, but I can't. We need to realize the need of revival is that we need God, and He's the only one that can heal our land. He's the only one that can heal our soul. That need is shown in the scriptures. This is not just scrapes and bruises. This is some serious stuff we're talking about. If you can't look at our nation and see how messed up it is. Listen, if you can't look in the mirror of God's Word and see how messed up we are. We got to see our need and know that need cannot be met in ourselves. And I know the preaching of the Word of God is important, but you're going to find the Spirit of God and the Scriptures of the Word of God are going to point you to the power of God that can provide that healing, that revival, that binding up of your wounds, that getting you back, returning you to the Lord. The Holy Spirit's going to point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to point you to His Heavenly Father. Amen. And if you can get your eyes on Him and say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, and you come to the Lord, you can get every need you have. And I'm not talking about you need this money or you need this, but you get your spiritual needs met. My spiritual needs get met. I might not be so concerned about the physical ones as much. I might not be so concerned about the financial ones. And I may find those other things will get in their order and their place. And as I seek first the kingdom of God, all those things be added. God, take care of my needs. Revival demonstrates and shows clearly what the true need is. It's real simple. Revival's like, I need God. I just need God. You can preach and be on the pulpit all day long. You can go through a whole week. The preacher can come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday through Friday. And I've been in some meetings like that where I thought as a pastor I was nearly going to die. Was anybody going to get revived? In my own heart, like everybody else was messed up but me. Amen. And God says, what about you? Why don't you go get in that altar? Where's your desire? Where's your hunger? Do you see your own need? You can just say, God, I need you. And get to God, and He can do some things in just a matter of seconds that 3 months revival won't fix. Now, you can't bring revival in a suitcase. You can't bring it in a singing group. You can't bring it in a special speaker. And I know there's some great ones out there, and there's some preachers that travel. Everybody wants to hear them. Everybody goes to hear them. They'll leave their own church, their own faithfulness of their own church. They go after the superstars of the ministry. They do that. I know they do that. But I'm going to tell you, they don't have revival. They don't have the answer. They may have the anointing of God, and I'm not discrediting that at all. But we need to understand God, the revival comes from God alone. God can get a hold of our heart. Just a matter of seconds if we would respond to Him. You can get done in just a few minutes what might have taken generations to unravel. And also in the thought of the need of revival, the need is demonstrated, I believe the need is declared here. He says here, let us Verse 1, let us return unto the Lord. Putting himself in the thought, let us return to the Lord. Let's make a declaration. Let's make it a decision. We've used that phrase before, used it so many times it's almost lost its power. But let's decide that we're going to do something besides preach about it. Do something besides sing about it. Revive us again. We sing that over and over, right? But we never do the steps. Let us return to the Lord. I'm going to go down that altar. I don't care what none of you think. That person can get revival. Amen. I was talking to somebody. I can't remember who it was. Somebody said something about God judging them about this and that or whatever. Or people judging them about this and that. You get so sick and tired and you want God so bad, you wouldn't care what Dr. Bottlestopper said about you, what the newspaper said about you, or your neighbor says, or your mom and dad says, or your neighbor in the church says. You're going to say, let us go. All right, you ain't going, I'm going to go. If you don't go, I'll go by myself. I need God. And you'll declare it. You'll decide. You find out in that returning unto the Lord, it declares you're ready. Now that's got a lot involved in that. Sometimes we think we're ready and we're not. If God would have come after that habit deep down in your life that you had not let go of in years, and all of a sudden decide to tell you that you got to let go of that habit, or you're not going to see revival because you've wrapped your whole world around that habit and you won't let it go, then you can't have revival. Revival's not in that one habit, but it's because you have regarded it in your heart and you're showing God that you want it more than you want God. I've gotten in some places in my life where God purged those kind of things out of my life. And I said, God, I want you more than I want any of these things. It's not always easy to arrive at that place. But when you do, you finally decide it. You can be certain God's going to do His part. You can count it. You make that step towards God. The Bible said if you draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to you. Let us return unto the Lord. God's people returning to Him. What a beautiful thing. Makes the devil mad. The devil doesn't want church to have revival. He don't want you to have revival. He don't want you as an adult, a mom or a dad or a grandma or a grandpa, or if you're a great, 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 great grandpa. He don't want you to get revived because he don't want your children in the fallout below you or your neighborhood or your jobs. Everything revival will do in you that cannot just stay within you, it will come out. He don't want the world to see it. He don't want that light to be shown. So he wants to keep us distracted and keep us occupied on other things. He wants to beat us down and discourage us to such a place that we don't go to God. We just give up or whatever it might be. I tell you, as a pastor, I've gotten there before. It's like a sigh in my heart and say, I don't know if it's even worth trying again to have revival, trying to bring a special group in or a special preacher in or whatever, because I know y'all get tired of hearing me. I'm glad y'all didn't say amen real quick right there. Thank y'all for being gracious and kind out there. Y'all could have said, y'all could have nailed me. But sometimes it's like, oh, don't even bother. But boy, somehow God he just does something to your broken bother meter, amen. He just stirs you up again and says, won't you just try to get him returned to the Lord? Won't you hunger and search one more time? Lead your people again one more time. Point him in that direction one more time. And it could be God may send revival to us. I've seen God save souls during different revivals we've had here. And that's worth it all right there. Oh yes, some have come and gone, never seen them again. But the devil wants me to remember those. God wants to remind me of those who are still living for God, still serving for God. They raised their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's what makes it, you know, worth it. But regardless of how I value the worth of it, it's still the most important thing I need in my life. You know, there's different scriptures in the Bible where people who had great needs and people like those that were born of four, those four men put him on that bed and took that man of the palsy. They took him to Jesus. They carried him down, they knocked a hole in the roof, and they lowered him down. Man, sometimes we need people like that in our lives, don't we? Sometimes even preachers need that. Maybe you grab the corner of my poor little bed and pray me in the hole in the ceiling. But I want to do the same thing for you. Amen. We need to understand we need revival, but we're not going to get revival until we make the decision that we want it. And you can't blame it on your wife or your mom or your dad, your brother or sister, anybody else. You can't blame it on me as your pastor. You know, you say, preacher's, this preaching's dry and dead and he's just past his prime or whatever. Or he's a knucklehead or I don't like the way he sounds. And you can go on with it. But that shouldn't, you shouldn't let me stop you from having revival. You can have it right in your own home or you can have it riding down the road or you can come to this altar. Because revival is between you and God. And if you want it bad enough, nothing can get in the way of that. So the need of revival, it needs to be declared. And it's declared by our action. Now I want to look at this last thought of the nutrients of revival. Yes, I alliterated the fire out of this message. I surely did. It's hard to find the words that start with the letter N that describe so many things that the letter E always seems to take care of, for me anyway, or the letter D or something like that. But I thought about within this verse, it says, then shall we know, verse 3, if we follow on to know the Lord, His going forth is prepared as the morning. Preparations of the morning are revealed here. And He goes on and He said, and He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. And this is, think, talking about how there's a groundwork laid and there's a seed in the ground or there's a harvest to be brought up out of the ground and how God can send the rain, as you've heard that song before, send the fire, send the rain. He can send the rain down. And it connects us here to, He said, we follow on to know the Lord. There's a pursuit having to do with rain and a garden. Anybody ever grow a garden? Anybody ever plant anything? Got any green thumbs in here? A few of you. The Lord might send that rain, that latter rain, that former rain as He's talking about here. It come before the harvest comes, and then there'll be one later on at the end of the harvest. But boy, when you get that ground plowed open and you open up the earth and you're saying, God, we need the rain. We've opened up the earth. We've plowed up that fallow ground. We open up to You. We lift up our hands up to You, but we still need for it to rain. And that rain goes into that earth, deep down into the dryness of that earth. And it feeds. And even in the preparation, the beginning before the ground, before the seed is sown into the ground, boy, if you've got nothing but dust and dryness there, boy, you've got to dig down real deep. And you might need some water on that ground to even get it where it's halfway ready to receive a seed. Boy, I think that's, sometimes I feel so dusty and dry. I need 100 million gallons of rain, amen, on my life. Follow on to know the Lord. When God sends real revival, it's going to put a nutrient inside of you that's inside the rain. I think about this when it rains. The rain sends minerals and things in it that go into the ground that revives it. It resuscitates it. And those things are needed so fruit can grow in our lives, grow out of that ground. Even this nitrogen is in the lightning that is displayed in every raindrop in a thunderstorm. Not even that is a wasted event. That nitrogen, God fertilizes the ground even with the lightning. Y'all look it up. I'm not making this stuff up. Isn't that pretty crazy? If you go out and buy 10 fertilizer and chicken manure and all that, trying to get stuff to grow, and God can just send lightning through every raindrop and put that little rain, that former rain, that latter rain, and He can do things. He can put life into that ground, into that plant just by one swipe of His lightning, but one speak of His word, one sermon preached, one scripture, one nudge by the Holy Ghost. Boy, we need that rain, amen? I need the freshness that the rain brings. You ever smell it when it rains? You know what I'm talking about? Especially in the summertime, you get one of them rains and it might smell weird to you. Maybe it smells bad to you, but when I smell it, it just always reminds me, refreshing. God's refreshed the earth. The earth is scorched. 150 degrees. Everything's drying up. God sends us the rain and everything's steaming. Everything's just like it's resuscitated, revived. All because God sends some rain. Rain is water. Rain, water is type of the Word of God in the Bible. Boy, you let that Word of God get down into that ground of your heart, God can do something to you. He can revive you. He can restore you. We got plants all over the place in here that are real plants. Sister Becky's our caretaker of most all these plants around here. Even the fake greenery, I think she put it up. But you don't water these plants, these leaves will wither and wilt. They'll just wither away. You can put a little bit of water in them. Maybe not just a little bit, but enough. You'll see a difference almost over just in a matter of a few hours. When those roots go down and say, oh, there's some rain, there's some water, there's some juice down there. And it goes all the way up the stem and the stamen and all those body parts of a plant that I forgot back in fifth grade or whatever it was I learned all that. And then photosynthesis is the light and its power as it is received into the outside, and the plant absorbs that, and then that plant produces something that this world cannot live without, which is oxygen. God does that kind of crazy work within us. It can produce something in our life that this world cannot live without, and that is the light of the world. We are pointing the others in this world to the Lord Jesus Christ. To follow on and know the Lord, when real revival comes along, you're going to keep pursuing and keep seeking and keep desiring and hungering. And you know, you can pop pride and pump like a well or an old gas pump trying to get people to live for God, but God send revival to a person, you better get out of their way. They'll be looking for things to do, and they'll want to do them, and they'll be glad to do them, and they'll do them, and they'll infuse themselves into them. They'll follow on. They'll want to know more about the Lord. They'll hunger and desire, and they'll seek. And aren't you glad you got your own Bible where you can read on your own, and you can pursue and go on to know the Lord? Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning. So much imagery here of Him, personification of Him, His going forward. We need His presence in our life. The revival, listen, it brings the presence of God. It brings it to the forefront. You are very aware of it. And there's no nutrients given any better than that, that'll make a plant stand up, amen? That it'll make a plant produce fruit. And it won't. And rain always brings the fertilizer and all the things that we need to produce fruit. Which ultimately, to me, what revival ends up doing, if we really have it, is gives God the glory. Every fruit gives the gardener, the husbandman, the glory for all the toil and all the work and all the time invested. And they take that fruit, and it could be shared, but it might be just taken in by God and by that husbandman and enjoyed. Anything revival brings forth in an individual life or our church, it should give God the glory. He should get it all. If it's that singing group that comes in, it wasn't real revival. Because the devil can destroy that singing group. He can do a lot of things to try to destroy that. But you can't destroy God. You can't. Listen, I can fall and fail, and you can too. Any of us can. But you can't trip up, can't destroy God. So real revival comes from Him and Him alone. And if the group comes, or Brother Jonathan comes and preaches, or something else goes along the way, and we're seeking it, we got that notion of it, it's past the novelty. I saw a jumping, you ever seen those bounce houses? That the little bitty small ones you buy for your kids? I saw one today coming down here, and it reminded me of this a little bit. So I said, somebody bought that for Christmas. They saw it on the internet or at Walmart for $150. Boy, our kids would love that. And them kids are jumping up and down like a bunch of idiots in that thing. Just bounce, bounce, bounce. But that novelty's going to wear off. You ain't going to plug that in every day for 365 days for the kids to jump up and down. They even going to get tired of it after a while. And to say that's a need, I don't know if you'd say that's a need or not. And it's probably going to get packed up and maybe put up for a birthday party. Are sold at a yard sale in not too long distant future. If you want to know where they live, I can tell you if y'all want to go get a good deal. And they'll probably sell it for what, 80% of what they paid for. Because it's just a passing thing, a notion, a novelty. But when we realize that there's a need in our lives, there's a need, you don't let it go. You never lose track of where it is in the storage. You always know where it is because it's a need. Well, church, we need revival. Amen. Our own individual lives needs it. And we need the rain to fall. I'll read you this song. I was gonna sing it, but I don't want to mess it up. But I've sung it here before concerning revival. We had a April shower, Send the Rain revival event a few years ago. The song is sung by the Rochester family. You've probably heard it before. He said, I'm tired of just the same old thing, of tradition wearing out your name. I'm tired of a man-made worship hour. I'm tired. I'm tired of a song without any praise, where worshiping you is out of place. I'm tired of religious formality. I'm tired. And he goes on to say, I'm tired of just the same old thing, of tradition wearing out your name. I'm tired of a man-made worship hour. Send the rain. Send the fire. Send the wind. Send the Holy Ghost in power. Send the rain. And one of the next verses says, we're ready for revival, Lord. We're ready to walk through that door. We're ready, Lord. Let it pour. We're ready. We're ready, Lord. Enough is enough. We're ready to drink from your cup. We're ready. Oh, fill us up. We're ready, Lord. A church, an individual, will never have revival till we get ready. We finally declare that I want this, Lord, more than anything that I'm dedicating, I'm committing it to. You know, there used to be a time where a town or a community was almost pretty much shut down for revival. The mills, the cotton mills, would even shut down, so the people would pretty much not even plow the fields much. They just, everything would kind of stop, focus on seeking revival. This world is not going to ever do that again. But listen, the world's not the one that desires revival anyway. It's us. And if we acknowledge we need real revival, it'll awaken your prayer life, your Bible reading life. It'll awaken your witnessing life where you'll talk to people. It'll awaken your worship life. It'll awaken it. Revival revives the dead. It revives the near dead. Amen. It revives everything that's withered and wasted away like that rain can do. I've seen many a plant that I thought was far gone, but a little bit of water, boy, it started perking up. It showed signs of straightening out a little bit and said, please don't throw me in the trash yet. I still got some life. I still got some left in me. And that's what we need. But until it's past that notion, that novelty, and you desire that it's a true need, then it's going to remain in those other categories. Sister Becky's going to come and play something for us. And I want every head bowed, every eye closed, and obviously I'm inviting you to the altar. Does your Bible reading life need revival? Does your prayer life need revival? Do you need revival in your life, just in your spiritual nature, your hunger, your thirst, your desire for God, your desire to even be here? And you said, I need God. I need Him more than anything else. If we get to that point, that's when we can get revived. We can get His touch. We can feel His breath. We can have that rain fall down in the soul of our life. Raise us up, resurrect us. May it produce a desire, a pursuit, to follow God, to seek His face, to seek it evermore. Ladies, men, your husbands, your wives, your grandchildren, your children, both they get revived. There'd be so many of the prayers that you've been praying will be resuscitated. You'd have your children sitting with you on the pews. Your grandchildren. Instead of seeing Facebook posts of all the things they're doing in the world, you'd see what they'd be doing for God. It'd be a revival like you've never seen. A reawakening in their life. Boy, wouldn't that be a joy? Wouldn't that bring excitement? Can't expect all the pews to be filled up until your pew is filled. Till you're in your place and you desire others to be by your side. Hungering, desiring it, seeking it, following after it. I had a garden this year, and I put a lot of work into it. Last year, I was going to survive the apocalypse, and my garden just fell all apart. I would have died if it hadn't been for God just sending in food. If I was dependent upon my own growing, I would have had a mess last year. This year, my garden was better, produced better, had a better setup. I had water hoses all the way out there to the backfield, and I'd water it. Water it early in the morning before it got too hot to burn everything off. But I'm going to tell you, even in that, there was nothing like the rain when God sent it down from the sky. That rain would come down and it would last way longer than my 30 minutes to an hour with a sprinkler. God might send a soaker, a good old thunderstorm with some nitrogen in it. And that this rain would just soak and soak and soak for hours and hours. Boy, it wasn't long at all. I'd look up that next morning, that garden would be standing up on its tippy toes. And there'd be little buds everywhere, and some of that fruit that was just barely a bud the day or two before, it now was a bean. It was something real. It was something with meat and sustenance. Something that could it could bring forth fruit and give life. Let's pray God rain down a real spiritual revival. Send His power, His presence. Penetrate our lives with His Word and His Spirit. Touch our families, our lives. Touch our church. When you read your Bible tonight or tomorrow, why don't you say, God, open up your word. Let me behold wondrous things out of your law. Lord, let me pray over it. Let me see something in here that will touch me and feed me and bless my heart. Take it and apply it on the streets in the world that you live in. Pray for one another and pray for revival where God would use every message that's ever preached, every lesson ever taught from this pulpit, every song that's ever sung, listen, I've been in services where the Spirit of God would move, even the instrumentals God got in those things. That's what we need when God's power and presence is evident all around us. People draw nigh to Him, get hungry for it. You might see a good gathering of people desire to get around a good fire in a dark, cold day, dark, cold night. This church would be a light and a beacon. Some might be gathered to it because there's so much darkness around us. We got a place where it just rains every service you get in here. Amen. Might be some people gathering around out of the dusty land around us. Church, I've experienced some revival services before in my home church. We've had some levels and portions of revival here at this church. I've been in some meetings where we'd be back praying in the prayer room for a certain person on that revival night, Thursday night or whatever it was, and Friday night thinking it was going to close. And this was the last night that man had been praying for his son to come and praying and praying for a couple weeks. And I remember leaving the prayer room. This was at my home church at Galilee. I went on out, come around the corner, got me some water, and I went out, and I saw that man. I saw that man's son. He was a grown man. He hadn't seen him in 25 years. And God in revival prayed that man in. We stood there singing, and I'll just use Jerome's name. He can sue me later. I don't think he'd care. Old Jerome come out of that prayer room. You know, we all come out. I think he come, Brother Donnie, with a little bit of discouragement in him. You know, he'd been all week long praying, and no sign. Hadn't even seen him in 25 years, but he talked to him and tried to get him to come revival. And he come through the door, and he saw his son. He said he didn't even know how he would respond, if he'd even come, or if he'd be mad, if he'd come to jump on him. And he opened up them arms, and they hugged each other right there in the church before service ever got started. Everybody knew what was going on. You didn't have to get a dictionary out and tell us what was going on. God was healing, and He was reviving, and He restored a relationship, and that man cried and wept, and he got to worship that night right next to his son. I've seen God do things like that. I've seen people get saved in meetings where They'd run preachers off. Didn't even want to talk to them. Still find themselves in church despite of everything they said. An altar call is given and they drop that old songbook on the bench. Got down to that altar like they thought this was the last second they had on earth and gave their soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. Saw that man get saved, get baptized and join the church. Nobody had to make him. He wanted it. That's what revival can do. Church, until it gets past just a notion and a novelty, we're not going to have it. We got to say, God, that's what we need. I need to see my grandchildren, great-grandchildren get saved. I need them to see come to church. I need them when they come here that they feel the presence of God, that God's touching the singing, the preaching. He's touching the people, the fellowship, everything. Their lives outside of church still reflected. They're just as real in church as they are outside. That's what we all need. Father, thank you for the word. Simple thoughts, Lord, that are so deeply needed. I pray, God, that you would send revival to the East Georgia Road Baptist Church. Lord, to my life, to all our people. Lord, in the days ahead that we would hunger and pray and thirst and seek it. God, that you would send that rain into the dryness, Lord, and to the ground of our lives, Lord, and produce the fruit. Let us see souls saved, lives restored, homes healed and fixed. Lord, the power and the presence of God be real at 724 East Curtis Street again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.